And welcome back. We're doing something a little different today. We're diving deep into one book of the Bible,
Ooh, sounds.
Micah. It might sound like a lot, but trust me.
It's a good one.
Yeah, it's packed with all kinds of stuff
I
that are
like
relevant, even if you've never even heard of Micah before.
Micah, even though he was writing thousands of years ago, tackled themes that are so relevant still to this day. Justice, leadership, faith. It's like he knew we'd be dealing with these things.
He was a prophet in the Southern Kingdom around the same time as Isaiah, but
Right.
what makes his message different?
Well, his name itself means who is like God.
Oh, wow.
And that question kind of echoes through the entire book as he explores God's power and justice, especially in the face of human corruption. And although he was in the Southern Kingdom, he addresses the fall of both kingdoms,
Oh, wow.
North and South.
So he had a very wide view.
Yes, he did.
So Micah, he lived in a town called Maresheph,
Right.
which is now an archaeological site. Tell Marie,
I've been there.
have you? I've heard there's something interesting there. Something about pigeonholes.
Yes. Archaeologists found all these caves at Tell Marasha with these little holes carved into the walls. Thousands of them.
What?
Thousands of them. And at first they thought they were for raising doves for temple sacrifices.
Okay.
But there wasn't any evidence of birds.
What? So what were they for?
Well, the leading theory is they were actually part of the textile industry.
Interesting.
Maybe for dyeing or stretching threads, which gives us a really fascinating look into the economic backdrop.
Right. So it wasn't just,
Right.
dusty scrolls and desert landscapes.
Exactly. There was industry and trade and all that going on.
So Micah's world was very busy.
Very busy.
Okay.
And that actually helps us understand his message even more. And speaking of his message, the book has this really cool structure.
Okay.
It's three parts,
Okay.
and each section actually begins with the Hebrew word shema,
Shema.
which means hear.
Okay.
It's like Micah saying, listen up, this is important.
I like it. All right. So what are these three big here moments?
Well, the first one, chapters 1 and 2, it's a message of judgment.
Oh, boy.
Micah comes out swinging, calling out Samaria, the northern kingdom,
Okay.
and Judah, his own southern kingdom,
Right.
for their transgressions.
So no one's off the hook.
No one.
God's justice applies to everyone.
Everyone.
Okay. So then in chapters 3 through 5, what happens?
The focus kind of shifts to the leaders of Israel.
Okay.
He talks about their corruption and injustice, how they exploited the vulnerable, how they twisted God's law for their own gain. But even in the midst of all this criticism, he gives us a glimmer of hope, the promise of a future messianic king.
Wait, hold on. Can you unpack that a little bit for us? Messianic king, what does that even mean?
Sure. It's a great question. It's one that would have resonated with Micah's original audience. They were longing for a leader, someone who would embody God's righteousness and usher in an era of peace and justice.
So it's like a perfect king.
Yes,
I
divinely appointed.
divinely appointed ruler who would restore balance and order to the world.
Okay, so not just any king,
Yeah.
a king that's going to do God's will on earth.
Exactly. I like it.
So now we get to the third section,
Yes.
chapters 6 and 7,
Okay.
and this is where it gets really interesting.
Okay.
God presents his lawsuit against his people. It's this courtroom drama with the
Oh.
mountains themselves as silent witnesses.
Oh, wow. That's a powerful image.
It is.
Okay, so we've got judgment and then this messianic king. And also, I've noticed Micah's writing style is so different.
Oh, it's
He's a
amazing.
poet. He's
Yes.
got all this vivid imagery and wordplay.
Oh, absolutely. And his language is so vivid. Like when he's describing the Assyrian invasion, he uses all these puns based on the names of towns in the Shephelah region. He
Interesting.
plays on these words like dust and baldness, which symbolized mourning and grief
Right.
in ancient Hebrew culture.
So he's not just saying that they're coming. He's making you feel what it's going to be like.
Exactly. He wanted them to feel the weight, the
Wow.
devastation.
So he's a word painter.
He is. He really understood how powerful language could be to move people, to make them feel things.
I mean, he definitely doesn't shy away from confronting the
Oh,
injustice
no.
that's happening.
No, he doesn't.
He's always calling out exploitation of the poor, vulnerable.
Right. Like in chapter 3, he compares these corrupt leaders to cannibals
Oh, wow.
devouring their own people.
He does not hold back.
No, he doesn't.
Wow. Okay, so we've got judgment, we've got a glimmer of hope,
Yes.
we've got this poetic in-your-face style. Is there anything else we should know about Micah before we really dig in?
Yes. One last thing. It's crucial to understanding him as a prophet.
Okay.
In chapter 3, verse 8,
Okay.
he says, "But as for me, I am filled with power, with the spirit of the Lord, and with justice and might, to declare to Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin."
So he's not just, giving his own
No.
opinions.
He's speaking for God.
Yeah.
That's right.
And he actually predicts the fall of Jerusalem.
He does in chapter 3, verse 12.
Which is a big deal.
Yes, a pivotal and devastating moment in Jewish history.
Right. So ignoring God has consequences.
Big consequences.
So we've gone from pigeonholes to prophecy of destruction. But you said there was a glimmer of hope, right?
Yes, there is. Micah doesn't leave us in despair.
Okay, got it.
He offers this amazing vision of restoration and hope.
Okay, let's get into that.
Let's do that. So we were talking about that glimmer of hope.
Yes. After the fall of Jerusalem, what hope is there?
Well, in chapters 4 and 5,
okay,
we get this vision of a future where Zion, another name for Jerusalem, becomes like a spiritual center for the whole world.
Not just for the Israelites.
For everyone. It was a radical idea at the time.
Right, because back then,
Nations
weren't exactly known for being inclusive.
Not at all. But Micah takes it even further.
Oh.
He uses this image of Zion being raised up higher than all the other mountains, symbolizing the triumph of God's ways over every other belief system.
So it's not just a physical gathering place.
Oh.
It's God's values.
Yes.
God's principles becoming the foundation for everything.
Exactly.
But the world still seems pretty far from that.
Yeah, it does. And Micah acknowledges that.
He does.
He does. This vision, although it points to a future age of peace, it isn't fully realized yet.
So we're still waiting.
We're still in between.
Yeah.
Waiting for God's kingdom to come.
So it's a promise and a challenge.
Yes. It's like Micah is saying this is what's possible.
Yeah.
But we have work to do.
I like that. So that brings us back to the Messianic King.
Yes.
Micah doesn't just promise that he's coming.
Right.
He tells us details about who he is and where he'll come from.
Exactly.
Okay, so what does he tell us?
Well, in chapter 5, verse 2, he pinpoints
Bethlehem
as the birthplace
of this Messianic King.
Of the Messianic King.
Wow, and that's quoted in the New Testament.
Yes. When the Magi are searching for Jesus.
Oh, wow. So Micah is setting the stage
for
the arrival of Jesus. Does he tell us anything about his character?
He does.
Or his leadership?
He calls him a shepherd.
A shepherd.
Who will feed his flock in the strength of the Lord.
I love that imagery.
You too.
It's both strong and tender.
It is.
It makes me think about what he said about the leaders of his day.
Yes, it's such a contrast.
Yeah, you've got the self-serving leaders exploiting people.
Yes.
And then you have this shepherd king who represents God's compassion.
It makes you wonder what kind of leadership we should be looking for.
Yeah, is he giving us a hint about what true leadership looks like?
Micah was writing during a really chaotic time.
Right.
People wanted a leader who would bring peace.
So maybe he's challenging us
to
rethink leadership.
I think so.
Not power and dominance.
Right.
But service and compassion.
Exactly.
Putting others first. Okay, so now we're at the final section of Micah.
Yes, the courtroom drama.
Yeah, what happens there?
God presents his case against Israel.
Okay.
But he starts by reminding them of all the ways he's been faithful to them.
So he's reminding them of all he's done for them.
Yes, going all the way back to the Exodus.
Like, hey, I've always had your back.
Exactly.
Why are you turning away from
me? Exactly.
But they try to appease God.
They do.
With all these extravagant sacrifices.
Yes, more animals, more grain.
More oil.
More everything.
Trying to buy their way back in.
It seems that way, doesn't it?
And then they ask if they should offer their firstborn children.
Oh, yes.
Wow, that's a little dark.
It is a dark turn. But it shows how far they strayed.
Yeah, from what God really wants.
Yes.
Empty rituals.
Empty rituals. No real meaning.
And this brings us to one of the most famous verses in the entire book.
Oh, really?
Micah 6:8.
Okay, hit me with it.
He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God.
Boom.
That's it.
It's a dad about the ritual.
Right. It's about living our lives like God.
Aligning our lives with God's character.
Yeah, his heart for justice. And then walking humbly with God.
Yes.
It's not enough to just do the right things.
Well, it's about our heart.
Our motivation.
So don't get all puffed up.
Exactly.
Stay humble.
Right.
Remember, it's about our relationship with God.
It all comes back to that.
Yeah. Who is like God?
Exactly.
Micah's message points us back to God.
To God's character.
His justice.
Yeah.
His desire for a world where everyone flourishes.
That's right.
So Micah is a prophet of judgment and hope.
He is.
He calls out injustice, but he shows us a better way.
Yes, a path to healing.
A path to restoration.
It all starts with our hearts.
Aligning our hearts with God's.
I think that's a great place to pause.
Yeah, we've covered a lot.
We have.
But there's still so much in Micah.
There is.
Thinking about Micah's message, you know, justice and walking humbly with God, it makes me think about those pigeonholes.
Oh, yeah. You said they were probably part of the textile industry, and
right.
Micah was calling out the wealthy and powerful, exploiting the poorer.
Right.
Could he have been talking about the people who ran those industries?
That's a good point. The textile industry was associated with wealth and power.
Right.
And Micah was addressing real-life issues.
So when he talks about justice, it wasn't just theoretical.
Right.
It had real-world implications.
Exactly.
Even for something like textiles.
And that's why these ancient texts are so interesting.
Yeah.
They make us think critically and challenge our assumptions.
Yeah, it reminds me of what you said about different perspectives, like pigeonholes being for doves.
Right, at first we thought...
Yeah, but then...
New evidence!
So we should always be open to re-examining our understanding.
Yeah, it's not about finding the right answer.
Right.
It's about wrestling with the text.
Asking questions.
Yeah, and letting it change us.
So Michael's words still speak to us today.
They do.
How do we apply them in the 21st century?
That's the question, isn't it?
Yeah. What does it even look like to act justly, love mercy?
Right.
Walk humbly with God today.
I think Micah gives us some clues.
Okay.
He says, pay attention to the marginalized.
Okay.
The oppressed.
Speak up against injustice.
Yes. And live lives of compassion and mercy.
So it's not enough to just feel bad.
No.
We have to do something.
We have to take action.
What kind of action?
It could be volunteering.
Okay.
Or donating to organizations.
Fighting for justice.
Or even having tough conversations.
With people who disagree with us.
Exactly.
And it doesn't have to be huge things.
No.
Everyday choices.
Right. Treat everyone with dignity and respect.
Yeah.
Be mindful of our impact.
And choose fairness and equity.
Exactly.
I love that. Even small things can make a difference.
That's where walking humbly with God comes in.
Yeah.
We don't have all the answers.
Right.
We need God.
Yeah. Humility keeps us grounded.
It does.
It reminds us that we're not the saviors.
Right.
But we're part of God's work.
Of redemption.
Of restoration.
And anyone can be part of that.
No matter where they are.
On their journey.
Well, that's a great place to end our deep dive into Micah.
It has been quite a journey.
Challenging and inspiring.
Thought-provoking.
Yeah, I'll be thinking about this for a while.
Me too. I hope our listener will keep exploring Micah.
Yes.
And see how it speaks to them.
Micah might be ancient.
He is.
But his message is still so relevant.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us.
Yes, thank you.
On this deep dive into Micah.
Keep exploring.
Keep questioning.
And keep seeking justice.
Mercy.
And humility.
Because even small acts of kindness.
And justice.
Can change the world.
They can.